Yo, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to episode 6 now of Lunch Table Talks, the podcast where two men sit down and talk about the greatest sport in the world, that is American football. I am your co-host, AJ Butt, the better one at intros, joined today by the man who makes it all happen, Francis. And today we are going to be doing our mock draft 2.0 as of March 20th, pretty much a week removed of all of the crazy free agency stuff that's been going on. Past the tampering period, a week into the signing period now, so we're going to go ahead and do a mock draft 2.0 to see exactly where these teams likely shape up drafting in the draft next month now, about 5 weeks away. So we are going to go ahead and get started. Francis, if you want to go first.
Yeah, I'm very excited to kick this off because I haven't actually compared this to my last mock draft, so I have no idea how different this is, but I'm sure the top three picks aren't going to be too different. Going Caleb Williams, pick one, the three-year starter out of South Carolina, and I think this is the pretty set in stone number one overall pick. I don't know how the trends have 9% going to Washington and 2% to the Patriots. I don't even know how that happens. Maybe people are just hoping, but I don't see him falling past pick one.
Especially now that Fields is gone.
No, of course not. He was the one big knock on him is his how he plays under pressure. That people say plays a little soft, but I think everything else makes up for it. And how we saw it today, him playing at his pro day, he looked very good. Missed a couple deep passes, but I think he should be a very good quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they are definitely building around him over there in Chicago. I also have him number one overall, of course. It's glaringly obvious. There were the crazy mock draft people who were, you know, when Fields was still on the team, having them trade down, going with Fields, getting some extra draft capital, which made sense because they did only have four picks in the draft this year. But now, of course, with Fields gone, there's really nowhere else to look. I think that one should be pretty set in stone at this point. Number two overall, it's still 50-50 pretty much with me personally, whether we go Drake May or Jaden Daniels to Washington. I normally go ahead and pick Drake May, so today I just decided to go Jaden Daniels instead.
No, for sure. I could definitely see that, and that's actually exactly where I went as well. Jaden Daniels at LSU, the Heisman, played very, very good. As obviously winning the Heisman, he was arguably the best player in college last year, but Caleb Williams having three really good years of college, I think, is what gives him the edge. I mean, Jaden Daniels, a 99.2 deep grade. Pressure grade isn't great, but definitely a lot better than Caleb's, and his intermediate game could use some work, but he's really athletic and pretty big too, so I think he will be very good, and I like him going to Washington over the Patriots in recent mocks. As a Bills fan. For pick number three, I'm then going to go Drake May to the Patriots. I still don't like it that the Patriots are getting a quarterback like May, who I think is also a very, very good quarterback. But I like it over Jaden Daniels. We have trouble in Buffalo with those moving mobile quarterbacks. But Drake May had a few games where he struggled versus top defenses, and he did play some really easy teams. But I think the athleticism and the arm strength give him the edge. But yeah, he's really, really good with his arm on a very bad North Carolina team. That offensive line was horrible, and he got the ball out very quickly. So I think this is a really good pick for the Patriots.
Yeah, I do as well. That's why I went there. Of course, these three teams at the top of the board have pretty much just been quarterback for a little bit. There was the Marvin Harrison to the Patriots, but I just don't see that happening. I also have them going Drake May, number three overall. Hopefully they can get some more talent around him pretty soon. Get him a nice weapon or two. But it's a work in progress. They're clearly not in any sort of win now mode. Also in a very, very tough division, very tough conference. So hopefully he can develop well, stay healthy, because that offense is not great. And they also do have some pretty good defenses that they play twice a year. So, well, yeah, we'll see. There have been some downgrades. There have been some downgrades across the board for the other three teams in that division. But we'll see.
That's
Moving on
fair.
to number four, the Arizona Cardinals. They are going to trade down. So, pretty much always been a lock, Marvin Harrison, for me. This time I'm going to switch it up. So, the Vikings are going to be trading up. I have them giving away picks number 11 and 23 overall. So, that pick that the Vikings got from the Texans to move into the first round and get a second pick. They're going to package both of those together. They might have some late round swaps here and there. To try to make the value work best for both sides, but inevitably they're going to be getting rid of 11 and 23 for overall pick number four. And I think it's obvious where they're going to be going. It's going to be drafting the fourth consecutive quarterback off the board, JJ McCarthy, out of Michigan. So I think out of the front three that were pretty much untouchable from the beginning, JJ McCarthy, I feel like, is the best one out of whoever's left in this current class. Sam Darnold is definitely just a stopgap for them. Of course, you're not going to be thinking about him long term. You've got great talent on the offensive side of the ball and Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. So getting a guy like McCarthy some weapons early on will be definitely a good move for them, especially being in the NFC North now that has just seemingly gotten so much stronger over the last couple seasons. You think the Packers are going to fall off. Jordan Love turns out to be amazing. They have nothing but young offensive weapons. The Bears, of course, definitely getting better. The Lions are one of the best teams in the NFC, top to bottom, one of the best rosters in the NFL. So I think at four, it could be a little aggressive, but there are definitely some mid-round teams that could potentially be moving up. You got teams like the Broncos, maybe the Raiders as well. So they're going to win the aggressive battle, swap number four, and take JJ McCarthy.
No, I could definitely see it, and I swear we didn't coordinate this, but I also have the Vikings moving
Oh,
up to number
really?
four overall
Oh, wow.
for JJ McCarthy. I'm not gonna get too deep into what I think these late round picks are gonna be. I'll give them like they get 120, Cardinals also get 129, and then the Vikings get like 90 back,
Yeah, just
and
some late round
that would
swaps,
be
yeah.
accepted. And then they, like you said, they'll take quarterback JJ McCarthy out of Michigan. McCarthy, he improved in 2023 from his 2022 season. Michigan, obviously, a super, super run heavy team. They ran the ball really well, but McCarthy was able to get out there and sling it. The one knock on him you see around is that he doesn't read progressions very well, and he has a hard time getting off of his first read, but he's not afraid to fit it into those tight windows. So I guess it kind of evens out. But that's something that he can learn and progress on in the NFL, especially if he goes to a team like the Vikings, where he has the weapons to be able to make those mistakes and to be able to put the receivers in tough situations because they have guys that can go up and get it.
For sure.
I think that's a really good pick for the Vikings. And McCarthy actually is graded the best under pressure out of the even the three quarterbacks picked before him, but his passing grade is a little lower because of he didn't throw as many touchdowns as the other guys did, and he has a hard time progressing through reads, like I said. So at pick number five, I have the Chargers sticking, and they're like, wow, Marvin Harrison
Yep.
fell to us. We're gonna go Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. I see some people even going Neighbors over Marvin Harrison, and I see where they're coming from. It's not as wild as some people are like reacting, like, oh my God, no way you have Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison. It's really not that crazy. Some people say 1A, 1B receiver. I think Marvin Harrison is a little better, so I'm not going to quite go that far. But Nabers is undoubtedly more athletic and explosive than Marvin Harrison, so I can see how the upside can intrigue people and really persuade teams to go that way. But Marvin Harrison Jr. is just an absolute freak, best receiver in the class, so Chargers go there.
Well, how interesting that at pick number five, I also have the Chargers sticking and grabbing Marvin Harrison Jr. Just the way that the board falls, I mean, it's obvious. You either go, like you said, Marvin or Malik Nabers. Of course, the Chargers getting rid of both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, definite and Gerald Everett, they need something to rejuvenate the weapons room in that offense, especially with a slinger like Justin Herbert. So, like you said, you could go Malik Nabers over Marvin. It's not the most unheard of thing, but Marvin Harrison just seems way too obvious at number five for me personally. But no need to worry, because at number six, The Giants are also going to stick, and they're going to go ahead and grab Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU. So, like you said, that 1A, 1B, that's exactly how they end up falling in the draft for me. Giants made some pretty good moves on defense overall. I think they have a steady pass rush now, really good front seven overall. DB room is slacking a little bit, but offensive side of the ball is going to need a lot of help. You do not have a lot of good weapons over there. You have some young ones who might have some potential, like a Wandale or a Jalen Hyatt, but you also have some aging guys who are just not built to be number one, maybe even number twos anymore. So getting a guy like Malik Nabers is going to be a solidified number one in that offense. You also lose Saquon Barkley. You have Daniel Jones, so you really need something, some life in that offense, and I think Malik Nabers is going to give that to him.
No, for sure. I also went Malik Nabers here with this pick. Some of the cons that they have here on PFF are he's not great going up and getting the ball in the air, but he's a 6-foot receiver, and he's crazy athletic. They say Antonio Brown-esque here, which I can see, though Antonio Brown was great at high-pointing the ball. And the manipulation in his routes is something he can work on, because he's really just really leveraging his athleticism and speed here, and as they say, and he can play any position, slot, outside. He's played it all, and you can see he had 51 catches out of the slot, 14 screens, 19 deep, 30 missed tackles for us. He's a freak, and he will show it when he is a New York Giant, when they get a quarterback that's not Daniel Jones, that is.
Yeah.
At number seven, I feel like this is probably the last pick that we have that's the same. I have the Titans going Joe Alt. I could be wrong, but Joe Alt to the Titans, it just makes so much sense. They need help on the O-line. Joe Alt is the best tackle in the draft, very clearly. Played really well, only allowed one sack last year and only two hurries or hits, and he's just a great, great tackle. He's not as athletic as some of the guys that will be picked later on in this mock for me, but he played really well all season versus some very good teams, so I believe in Joe Alt in Tennessee.
Yeah, and I mean, that's also where I'm going for number seven. I swear we're not looking at the same mock draft, guys. but it is actually really interesting that the first seven picks are identical. But yeah, I also have Joe Alt, tackle out of Notre Dame. Going to the Titans, seven overall. Wide receiver was definitely a point of need for me previously, but picking up Calvin Ridley, you definitely don't need to prioritize it as heavy. So you have a guy like Robert Dunze available, but I think they look somewhere else now that they have a better supporting cast in the wide receiver locker room. Joe Alt definitely makes sense here. It's the biggest glaring need. You still have a really young quarterback in Will Levis. Now you have like Mason Rudolph, Malik Willis, but you're going to need the most protection you can get. Joe Alt definitely being the best left tackle in the class. Also going to be lined up right next to Peter Skoronski. That is an amazing left side of the line that could definitely even free up some holes in the run game for your young running back, Tony Pollard, who is a little more shifty than you're used to seeing when you had a guy like Derrick Henry for so long. I think Joe Alt is definitely going to be the best pick here for me. Moving forward to number eight, however, we have the Atlanta Falcons, and I'm actually going to have the Falcons trade down just a little bit, not too much. They are going to swap 8 and 10 with the New York Jets. So the Jets are going to go ahead and piggyback over, or leapfrog, I guess I should say, not piggyback. They're going to leapfrog the Bears, and at number 8, they're going to grab Rome Odunze, wide receiver out of Washington. You got two veteran tackles in free agency, Morgan Moses as well as Tyron Smith. Aaron Rodgers coming back, you need a weapon for him to throw to. I mean, you have Garrett Wilson, but outside of that, it is in
shit. Mike Williams?
Oh, wait, they grabbed Mike Williams. Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did grab Mike Williams. Okay. Yeah. I don't know why I totally forgot about that. It did just happen, like, yesterday. But, yeah, they do have Mike Williams now. So, I guess you do have two receivers now, but you might as well load up Aaron Rodgers. The dude is 40 coming off of a torn Achilles. You got Breece Hall in the backfields. Why not load up on the weapons and give him another incredible receiver to throw to, like Rome Odunze? Dude is built like a beast, 6'3", 215, has really, really good receiving grades, had a stellar 2023 in comparison to his first 2 years, and hopefully they can get some sort of depth in that wide receiver room. Because, I mean, outside of those two, they really don't have anybody. And Mike Williams is also coming off of a pretty nasty injury, a season-ending one. So I went ahead and went Robert Dunze at 8.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see it. I had the Falcons staying and picking, as I have all my mock drafts. But I have the Falcons going Cooper DeJean, corner out of Iowa, which isn't where a lot of people go with this pick. But I think Cooper really emerged as the top corner in the class towards the end of the season. And I think he can play all over the place. You can see he played not too many, but a few snaps out of the slot, a few snaps in the box, a few snaps on the line. But played really well overall. Great hands, great size, great athleticism. But he lacks experience in the press. The Falcons won't really press too much, I don't believe. But maybe they do, and if they do, they have Jesse Bates over the top. And because of his size, he does have problems with his acceleration and flipping his hips. But he'll be designated to be that sort of big man stopper over there in the NFC South. So he'll be lined up across from all the bigger receivers, and AJ is going to take the number ones or the more athletic guys. But I think this is just a really good pick for the Falcons when I normally go Dallas Turner, but they go Cooper this time.
Okay.
With my number 9 overall pick, I have the Chicago Bears staring at the board and seeing Romo Dunze still there. These are the same two picks I had for them in my last mock, but they are going with Romo Dunze, receiver out of Washington. Huge, athletic, great hands. He's just everything you want in a receiver. Doesn't really drop anything. He's not an after-the-catch guy. He's a deep threat. They say supersized Chris Olave, which is crazy. I don't know how it's a comparison when Chris Olave is not supersized, but
right.
Yeah, his only downside is his after the catch ability and some of his more finer route running techniques. But I don't see any reason to knock over Romo Dunze there. Keenan Allen's not a long term option. He's on his last year of his deal. He hasn't been extended yet. I don't know if they do extend him or if they're just giving Caleb as many options as possible in his rookie year. But they really didn't give up much for Keenan Allen, so it's not too big of a loss if it's only a one-season thing. Caleb Williams gets a good receiver for his first year, lets him settle in and calm down. But I think they go Romo Dunze at 9.
Could be good mentorship for Romo Dunze, too, having Keenan Allen there. And, of course, you still have DJ Moore as well, who's proven that he could be a big-time receiver. Number 9 for me, however, I have the Chicago Bears going on the opposite side of the ball. They're going to go with interior defensive lineman Byron Murphy out of Texas. So the Bears, as much as it pains me to say being a Packers fan, have done really well in kind of reshaping this team this offseason. I know a lot of people are giving them a knock on their overall like free agency period because they didn't get much back for Justin Fields. But, I mean, the bottom line, when you look at it, they've done nothing but get better pretty much in every single aspect. You bring Kevin Byard in at safety. You've got good depth and a good physical safety depth with Jonathan Owens. You bring back Jalen Johnson for the long term. You get DeAndre Swift in your backfield. You add Keenan Allen to the weapons. They've done really, really good overall. One thing that didn't really impress me looking at their current depth chart is kind of that interior defensive line. I know you have Montez Sweat there, but in terms of what's on the board now, I feel like the most glaring need was definitely getting another body on the interior defensive line. You have Aaron Jones now in that division. You have Josh Jacobs in that division. I know Byron Murphy is more primarily a pass rusher, but you're going to also have two young quarterbacks, Jordan Love. How consistent is he going to be under pressure? This is only his second year as a starter. You got Caleb Williams, obviously, on that team. But Jared Goff is one of the worst quarterbacks under pressure in the last couple of years as well. So Getting a guy like Byron Murphy can help you plug up the run game, can also help you get some interior pressure over a weak guard, and potentially beef up that offense and help you get some stops.
No, for sure.
Did you have someone you want to add?
I did two mock drafts today, and in my other one, I had them going the same way, grabbing Byron Murphy on the interior of the defensive line. I can just he's an absolute athletic freak and a pass rush mastermind. And yeah, if he can deepen his bag of pass rush and counter moves, which a lot of you see a lot of pass rushers in the NFL say that the most important thing to do is to develop a counter move, because when you find your thing, your one move that really works, that's what they're going to be looking for every time. So you always need a counter to how the offensive lines drop back, because that's what you're really looking at when you choose how you're going to attack them, whether they attack you, they drop back, they kind of sit. So you have to have a versatile move in every scenario. So he needs to develop that a little bit. But he is a defensive tackle, so he's not expected to go get the quarterback every single play like some edge rushers are expected to do, but he's going to anyways.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. That makes a lot of sense. Where are we at now? Number 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So number 10, the Jets pick was traded with the Falcons, so the Falcons are now picking at number 10. I have them going the common Dallas Turner route. Still just makes a ton of sense for me. You've got some pretty good pieces in the secondary. Front seven is okay. You're getting a little old in some areas. You kind of have some question marks in other sets of areas. But getting a guy like Dallas Turner is definitely not going to be a question mark. He's going to be an exclamation point off the edge, generating a ton of pressure, which is something that the Falcons definitely need. You got a great coverage guy. You've got a great ball hawk in the backfield. So having that key edge defender to kind of quicken the pace of the offense that you're playing against can definitely benefit guys like A.J. Terrell and Jesse Bates in that backfield. So Dallas Turner, although we've done it before, don't really have to explain it too much. He's still going to be my pick for the Falcons, now at number 10 instead of 8.
I have the New York Jets at 10, and I have them going Dallas Turner off the edge. They lost Carl Lawson to free agency. They have Jermaine Johnson still and Will McDonald they drafted last year as a backup. John Franklin Myers is just, he's getting up there, and who knows how much long. Yeah, John Franklin Myers, almost 30. Bryce Huff's gone. You need the Will McDonald's going to be that sort of rotational pass rusher that Bryce Huff was, I think. But the way that they draft offensive linemen and move their guys around, I think Dallas Turner would be great. I was going to say Will McDonald, but I meant to say John Franklin Myers can move on. They don't need to re-sign him. They can save the money. They can have Jermaine, Will McDonald, and Dallas Turner as those guys. Dallas Turner's smaller. Not small, he's 6'4", 240, but as an edge rusher, he's a little lighter, and he's kind of twitchy and finessey. He tries to bend and get around, and he's really good with his hands. I think he is really good and will be a freak in the AFC East in New York for a while. Now, the Cardinals now picking at 11 after trading with the Vikings at 4. With the 4th pick in the draft, I have the Cardinals taking Quinyon Mitchell, corner out of Toledo. Quinyon Mitchell is the 1A, 1B in the draft with guys like Nate Wiggins. It's really hard to say what corner is going to be off the board first. A lot of people think it will be Quinyon Mitchell because of what he brings. He's just really, really solid as he can be a cornerback one. He sticks on you. He got really good speed. He can he reminds me a bit of like a Darren Bland or like any of those corners that they have out in Cowboys land. Yeah, they're very sticky and man, and they're very aggressive when they go after the ball, so he can have trouble against double moves sometimes. And he's not really too familiar with zone, but he's really good at coming down in run defense, and he just has a knack for getting to the ball, getting his hands in your face, and disrupting the pass.
Alrighty. So, number 11 for me. Cardinals, go ahead and grab offensive line. So, it was interesting on where to go. Of course, Cardinals predominantly focusing towards wide receiver. I don't think you have enough of the elite. You don't have any of the elite ones on the board anymore. And you've got a lot of depth with them now also having two picks in the back end of the first. I decided to prioritize something that was a little more stacked in terms of best in class. So I went with offensive tackle. I went with Talifuaga. The reason why I went with Talifuaga is pretty much the reason I said. So tackle is absolutely stacked. And you only got, at this point, one of the really, really good, like, bona fide first-rounders off the board in Joe Alt. They did pick up Jonah Williams in free agency. They also have Paris Johnson on the other side. But this would just give them incredible depth. He also has the ability to move inside as well. I think I, like, just read here, like, 700 snaps, zero sacks allowed. Like, that is just insane. I don't think he's allowed a sack at all in his career. I know he has not. But he is a tremendous run blocker as well. So any sort of like run design plays for Kyler Murray, if he's got to, you know, make something happen on the fly, kind of just take off up the middle, he could provide support there. You got a big power back like James Cotter, can maybe even do some like pull blocking, open up some holes for him to just bust through the middle, get some extra yardage. But with two picks coming out the back end, 23 and now 27, I definitely was thinking that they can get more value in other positions of need a little bit further down the board, like corner and receiver maybe.
I could see it. Good pick. They need somebody. They have Paris Johnson on one side, and they kind of need to lock up the rest of their line, so I can see it for sure.
We're improvising. All right. I saw you just close my tab out. No. Where's my mock? One second. Bro. Go ahead and give them number 12 while I pull this back up.
So with pick number 12, I have the Broncos going quarterback Bo Nix out of Oregon. What? Bo Nix is a top 12 pick? What? Yes, Bo Nix was a great quarterback for the Oregon Ducks last year. I'm not really too sure why he's fallen off as much as he did. He's great across all facets. Was nothing but spectacular in 2023, throwing for 4,400 yards, 45 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, with a 135.7 passer rating. I mean, I'm not really sure. He's got problems with pocket movement and his throwing stance, but besides that, all things that could easily be fixed, and we've seen cornerbacks fix, he's first in turnover-worthy percentage plays, and he's not making mistakes. His completion percentage is great. He's accurate. He's not pushing the ball downfield as much as some people are wanting him to. He's taking a lot of short throws and a lot of dump-offs and screen plays, which are designed from the coach. He's not choosing to throw a screen play because he doesn't want to throw it deep. He's playing what's called. He's 24, so he's dropped a bit because of that, but I mean, he's got another good 10, 12 seasons in the NFL. I don't really care if he's 24. Give me Bo Nix to the Denver Broncos at 12.
Interesting, yeah, because Did two mocks as well. Another one was a couple of days ago, to be fair. I actually had them going Bo Nix as well, because quarterback obviously is a huge need for them. And with them eating so much cap over the next 2 seasons, drafting one, especially in the first round to get that fifth year option, is going to pretty much lock you up long term. I, however, decided against that in my second mock, as I'm currently sitting here and trying to redo my mock here. So I have pretty much the big board on my computer. 12 overall went to Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. So, reasoning for this is you do have a couple of quarterbacks who have kind of snuck out of the first round. Maybe you be aggressive in the second round and grab them. But for right now, at number 12, if you have Brock Bowers that falls to you, if you can manage to grab one of those like early second round quarterbacks, like a Bo Nix if he does fall, or like a Michael Penix, then by all means, be aggressive and make one of those. If you grab one of those, now you have an insane tight end prospect in Brock Bowers, probably one of the best in a very, very long time, I would say. So I went ahead and went with Brock Bowers. But my first draft, I did actually, funny enough, go Bo Nix. 13. I am like multitasking like super hard right now, trying not to like misclick and draft the wrong player. I'm so annoyed that I did that. Pick number 13 is going to the Raiders. They're gonna stick and pick. Let me pull this up real quick. I have them going corner, and I have them grabbing Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. So they drafted Gardner Minshew, obviously not a full-time replacement, but I believe it could be a stopgap for now. Maybe they're another team that might be able to push up and grab an early second-round quarterback, because I'm sure there will be at least one or two in the early second for sure. But for now, Gardner Minshew is serviceable. I mean, he's had his ups and downs for sure. You had the original Minshew mania and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to talk too much about it. It's not about Gardner Minshew. It's about Quinyon Mitchell. But I think on the defensive side of the ball, the corner room is kind of garbage overall. You do have Christian Wilkins now with Max Crosby, so you have an incredible pass rush. Wide receiver as well. Kind of the same thing with the Cardinals. Like, you don't really have the guy, like, a good enough receiver to draft this early. There's going to be more value down the board. You also have Davante Adams still, who is, of course, aging, but is still an elite wide receiver when healthy. With Jakobi Meyers, who actually had a pretty impressive season at wide receiver number two for the Raiders. Tight end Michael Mayer. So, you do have some weapons. On that offense, I think definitely just getting the, I believe for me, first corner off the board. Yeah, the first corner off the board. And again, probably the best one. I said that in my last mock. You're going to get a really good defensive back on that side of the ball.
No, I could see that if he was there, but I have somebody else following who you have gone. Byron Murphy out of Texas is going to go join Max Crosby and
Jesus.
Christian Wilkins.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's. I don't think it matters who's playing corner when these four, whoever else is playing the other side of the ball. Who do the Raiders
Doesn't
got
matter.
over there?
Doesn't matter.
I want to find out. The Raiders have
It's Malcolm Coombs.
Malcolm Kuntz or
Doesn't
Tyree Wilson.
matter.
I could see
You just said it.
Tyree Wilson coming into that role, the guy they drafted
Yeah, he's
last
our
year.
three down lineman.
I can see with Tyree Wilson, Byron Murphy, Christian Wilkins, and Max Crosby. It's not gonna matter much who you got playing corner because I think my grandma could be back there and she can get an interception with these four coming at you. But as you said, you already talked about Byron Murphy earlier. Great pass rusher, really good in the run game still. He's just big, athletic. He's not as run capable as his counterpart over in Texas, but he's definitely capable, and he's gonna show it when he comes in, and he's gonna learn from Christian Wilkins, and he's gonna learn from Max Crosby, and he's gonna kind of develop those counter moves and those pass rush moves, and it's gonna be very scary in Las Vegas.
That's an absolutely insane front four, dude. I'm not gonna lie. You cooked
Yeah.
up a nightmare.
It's very, very scary for the AFC West.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, man. Eat your heart out.
You gotta get him. That's how you beat him. So that's what they're trying
Pretty
to
much.
do.
And I
With
respect you.
pick number 14, the New Orleans Saints are sticking and picking Fuaga, tackle out of Oregon State. Fuaga is he's not as defined as Joe Alt, and he's just a big guy who can move bodies. He can struggle in pass protection, like this says. When he gets back and he's kind of letting guys get around him, he's not getting deep enough, so he's getting run around. But in the run game, he's big, he's athletic, he's strong, 6'6", 334. He's kind of running guys over using his arms. But I think the Saints have a really good mentor, first and foremost, in Ryan Ramczyk. And then they want to keep the quarterbacks on their feet, and they want to run the ball better with Kamara. And this is going to help with both.
No, yeah, definitely. That is. Sorry. I literally just finished up. Okay. I just finished redoing my mock draft. Thank God I had a photo of it ahead of time. I was in panic mode. I'm not going to lie. Because I was like, all right, all right. Please just talk a little bit longer so I get this done. And then I was like, oh no, I got to talk about my pick. I didn't want to like misclick. Okay. So, yeah, Talifuaga being over there. New Orleans protecting Derek Carr. I could definitely see. I think I want to say I went. Did I coincidentally pick him as well? But I had him in that like crazy trade up to number 8. I want to say I did that in the first mock that we did. I think I had the Saints at
Fuaga,
12. Yeah, Talifuaga.
I think you had them. I think you had
Yeah.
some tackles going real early.
Yeah. So I decided to steer away from offensive line for the Saints this time. And I went defense. The offensive line, you've got Ramczyk on the right side, backed up by Cesar Ruiz, and then you've got a young Trevor Penning on the left side. So I was like, they've got some really early picks on the offensive line. So I'm gonna hold off on that. Go ahead and go defense. When I look at this defense, it's pretty decent on paper, I will say. Of course, you've got some old pieces in there like Tyrann Mathieu, DeMario Davis, who are probably going to end their careers there at this point. But you bring in Chase Young, you bring in Willie Gay, you have Carl Granderson, who is looking pretty good. But the glaring need to me on this defense right now, I would say, is corner. You do have some, you have some potential. You know, you got Paulson Adebo, you got Alante Taylor. They're still young. Marshon Lattimore, of course, is the big one that's over there. But why not just add another one? Get some DB depth. Wide receivers are just so athletic these days. Like every single class just produces like the best wide receiver prospect we've ever seen. So why not go ahead and stack up on corner? Grab it yourself a guy like Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. Cooper DeJean is one that I definitely have wanted for my Packers. The only problem is that every single time I mock, he's never there. He's never there. I always end up picking him sooner rather than at 25, just because he's such a good corner prospect. I definitely think that teams are going to snag him up before we get there. Had a little bit of a down year 2023 in comparison to 2022, but really good build, 6'1", 207. You've talked about him already. He doesn't have the greatest change of direction, or acceleration can be a little bit slow when he's flipping the hips. But when you look at the wide receivers that are over there right now in the NFC South, there's not too many outside of like the Falcons that are that crazy. I mean, Godwin, Mike Evans are great, but they're not the fastest guys, you know? And then over there in Carolina, you don't really know what you're gonna have there
Deontay
after the draft.
Johnson, Jonathan
They have
Mingo.
Deontay now, but who knows if he's gonna be lined up on them. My point is that they don't have a bunch of like crazy speed over there. And he's likely not gonna be getting too much start in the beginning, but I think he's definitely a good developmental piece that could for sure be a solidified corner on that defense over time.
No, I could see it. I mean, I could see them going Cooper DeJean. The whole thing with the NFC South not having speed is kind of crazy to me. But especially with the Falcons, the Falcons receiver core has
I mean,
almost
just
all
outside
speed
the
now.
Falcons. Outside the
Yeah.
Falcons,
And
it's
Trey
crazy.
Palmer with the Bucks is kind of crazy. And you gotta watch Deontay
Yeah.
Johnson. It's a, it
But again,
is it
they don't
is a
have.
tough. So adding corner makes sense with their all the receivers that are in the NFC South. So I could see it for sure.
Right. But I mean, he's not going to be like the end all be all corner there. I mean, like outside of the Falcons, like you really only have like one, maybe two, like solidified, like speedy, deep guys. Like a lot of offenses really just have kind of like gadget players or like really good route runners. So, I mean, you're definitely going to have Marshon Lattimore there, especially for a little bit. He's not going to be like QB1 right away or anything. It's not like you're drafting like a guaranteed starter at that position. But I think over time, you know, he could develop and kind of, you know, learn from the veteran play that's over there right now and definitely be something in a couple of seasons, I think.
Yeah, especially with where the Saints are at cap wise, I don't know if they can bring back some of the corners that they have signed right now who are on roster. They're starting guys, that is, with Paulson Adebo and Alante Taylor, who are going into their final seasons. Paulson Adebo is set to be a free agent, and this is Alante Taylor's got two more seasons, so who knows what, how they're in cap hell if they can bring those guys back. But I can see them going corner. I had the top two off the board at this point. But crazy that you said Cooper DeJean's trend is actually the top team they have drafted by is actually the Green Bay Packers in PFF. 16% of people have him going to the Packers.
I would take it. I always mock him sooner.
For sure. And what do you got for pick 15?
Dude, there's no way I just did this again. What is wrong with me, dude? All right, so I'm winging it now. Pick number 15, Colts. Pulling this back up on my phone because I cleared it out again. We've got Nate Wiggins. Nate Wiggins at number 15. So Colts picking, dude, I don't know what is wrong with me right now, but I have folded twice in a row. I've literally cleared out my big board twice now.
How are you even doing that? How do you keep closing it?
So I went to switch tab the first time and didn't get far enough over on tab because I only have one monitor, unfortunately, because my desk is so small. So I'm kind of like tab flipping. And while flipping from one tab to another, I didn't get far enough over on the tab and clicked X. So rookie mistake there. Second time was also a misclick. So I went to shift from like my end of draft photo to like my like big board, like from simulator to like whatever. And then I kind of clicked like the next tab over and brought up like mock drafts. And then that literally just refreshed my entire draft simulator. But yeah, I'm struggling right now over here. I'm struggling. But number 15 is going to be Nate Wiggins, corner out of Clemson. The Colts, a team that definitely could use one. I mean, outside of Kenny Moore, you really don't have a corner you're like scared of. So that was pretty much the main reason for me. There's kind of like a multitude of spots they could go, but I mean, yeah, corner just really looks like looking at the depth chart, it's not great. I mean, you've got some age in the defensive line, but I mean, you got Kwity Paye. He's young as well. DeForest Buckner, did they re-sign him or like restructure his contract? I feel like they did something to him in the offseason.
Buck's just chilling. They brought back Grover Stewart.
Yeah, they brought back Grover Stewart. Yeah, so really, like, interior defensive line isn't looking too bad. Kwity Paye off the edge could definitely take another step forward. Edge is another one they could probably draft. I don't know. Corner just really looked the most tantalizing for me. I was like really corner happy in this stretch of the draft, so I went ahead and went with Nate Wiggins.
I also went with Nate Wiggins. You've talked about him a lot, so I'm not going to say too much. But he's 6'2", but he's only 185. He reminds me a lot of first-round pick Emmanuel Forbes last year for the Washington Commanders, in the sense that he's kind of long and skinny but athletic. So he can get pushed around a bit, but I also went Nate Wiggins to the Colts here. And then at pick 16, I have the Seattle Seahawks going center Jackson Powers Johnson. Interior of the offensive line across the board is a big need for them. I believe they lost Damian Lewis, and they don't have a center. So Jackson Powers Johnson can play anywhere on that line that you need him to. Playing a lot of guard snaps in 2022, and a few in 2021, though he wasn't a starter, primarily a center. Only a center in 2023 because he sort of solidified himself there. Oregon didn't need him to play guard, but he has the ability to play guard with his size and athleticism. But he can just be a big, freaky athletic center, sort of like Jason Kelce was. And they say he's got short arms, but they say that about an offensive lineman every year, I feel like, and it never matters. So the Seattle Seahawks takes Jackson Powers Johnson.
Interesting. Yeah, I also had them grabbing Jackson Powers Johnson
Well,
pretty much
there you
because, yeah, I mean, they've got decent tackles. It's pretty much like the interior offensive line that's really bad. And they do not have a good center at all. So, with him being pretty much the only center, prospect kind of mocked in the first round, I felt like them picking first and also really needing it was just too perfect of a fit. Again, last year only played center, but has had plenty of snaps at right guard, some snaps as well as left guard in the previous 2 years of his college career. So has the ability to move around if you need him to. But yeah, like you said, he's run a really good build. Compared to, Jason Kelce in terms of his power. That's funny what you say about like the short arms thing, because I feel like that's definitely true as well.
Yeah. Well, this guy's got short arms. Let's move him to guard. Well, this guy's got short arms. Maybe he won't be able to shut up.
Yeah, no, that's like definitely true, because I feel like they always say it about somebody that's a high prospect that like all like they're like this could hurt their stock because they have really short arms, so that like decreases like their efficiency whenever they're blocking super long defensive ends and all that, like whatever they say, and then like it never ends up mattering, like they're pretty much just as high as they were like mocked to be pretty much.
Exactly, and I don't. There's it doesn't matter to me. It's like the small hands thing with Burrow. It's like whatever.
Yeah. Because I mean, Burrow's just Burrow.
Yeah.
Burrow doesn't matter if he has short hands. Dude has the brain of like a 15-year vet, it seems like.
Exactly, and Powers Johnson. It's the same way that Kelce was the underdog, and he dropped because of his size or whatever. It's irrelevant to me. He's a good player. He plays well. He's got it down. He's athletic. I don't care how long his arms are. His arms are an inch or two longer. It's not going to make much of a difference to me.
Right. All right. My pick now or
17, yeah, Jaguars.
17? Okay. So Jaguars have my mock corner coming off the board. The corner that they are going to grab is Tyrion Arnold from Alabama. So, looking at the Jaguars depth chart, they were able to bring back Josh Allen. Also picked up Arik Armstead, which is insane. You've got Trayvon Walker as well, super young, coming off the edge. You went ahead and grabbed Darnell Savage, Ronald Darby as well, because they cleared out a good portion of their defensive back room. With them also making additions on offense, picking up pretty much your guys' leftovers in Buffalo, Mitch Morse and Gabe Davis. I feel like they made serviceable enough additions to not need to prioritize them as high. I again, like I said, being on a huge corner kick in this part of the draft went corner for them. You've got Tyson Campbell. Again, you picked up Ronald Darby. I apologize for my dogs being crackheads. Pretty much just getting another DB in there to kind of just make peace with like who you lost. They lost Darius Williams. They lost another safety as well. I'm kind of blanking on his name because my dogs are distracting me. Sorry. I'm trying to get him to stop barking, but I have them going corner, picking up Tyrion Arnold. He's a great run defender. Not so great in man coverage, more of like a zone corner. You could play him in the box just to kind of give them a kind of like diverse packages out of certain formations. 6 foot 196 as well, but he kind of moves all around the field. Last year was playing in the box quite a little bit, was corner and slot a lot. So he's a guy that can kind of move around, and definitely has some good advantages for this defense to kind of shake things up.
For sure. I'm actually pulling an audible here. This wasn't in my original mock draft. I'm kind of switching this up as I go. I looked at it and I liked it. I was just thinking about it. I have a trade here. The Jacksonville Jaguars are moving from 17 down to pick, this may sound familiar to you, pick 25. The Green Bay Packers have moved up, trading 25 and 88 to get to 17 to get Troy Fautanu, tackle out of Washington. They were scared he's going to go to the Bengals with the next pick. The Packers move up and get their guy, their replacement for David Bakhtiari. Fautanu played almost 1,000 snaps at left tackle last year at Washington. Big, athletic, super high upside. He has things he can work on with kind of moving and deciding whether he wants to attack or drop back. He needs to get a little stronger, but all things that are very, very trainable and can get better or change. He's just kind of an anchor there. He's not a great run blocker, but he's just going to hold on that left side, and Jordan Love isn't going to get touched. So the Packers move up and get their guy at 17.
Very, very interesting.
How would
Very
you
interesting.
feel? Would you feel? Would you give it the thumbs up or the thumbs down?
I don't know, man. There's a lot of tackles still on your board.
There, I was gonna have them go tackle at 25, but the one they wanted was there. They were scared the Bengals were gonna go.
Yeah. I could definitely appreciate it. I mean, there's so many tackles. I'm more or less not mad with any of like the big seven or eight, maybe even 10. But they're definitely going to be in position to grab like one of the top seven, six to eight range, I would say, picking at 25. But no, Troy Fautanu is definitely a solid selection. I wouldn't be mad at it at all. Losing David Bakhtiari as well as John Runyon Jr., I definitely expect us to beef up the offensive line. I know we historically don't really go offensive lineman first round, but I think this year with having so many young, potentially like really talented players all across both sides of the ball, I think prioritizing offensive line and getting more protection for Jordan Love is definitely going to be best for us. So I'm not mad at it at all. As long as we get like one of the best seven or eight tackles, I'll be happy.
For sure. And then at pick 18, the Bengals losing out on Troy Fautanu, them damn Packers. They go tight end Brock Bowers out of Georgia, Brock Bowers gives me that George Kittle-esque look. He's just athletic, great after the catch, hard to bring down. He's, like he said himself, he's too fast for tight ends, or too fast for linebackers, I can't speak. Too fast for linebackers and too big for cornerbacks. He's not going to be the big guy who goes up and gets it. With only a 22.2 catch percentage, contested catch percentage, but he's getting a lot of yards after the catch. With that kind of a down 2023, he's dropped on a lot of boards from what people thought he was going to be last year. People thought he was going to be this top 10 solidified guy, the best tight end we've ever seen, which he's still one of the best tight ends we've ever seen, and he's potential to be a top three tight end in the NFL, which you are if you have to be if you're being picked in the first round as a tight end. But yeah, he's great all around. Can maybe deepen his route tree and his route running skills, which could set him apart when being covered by corners, because like he said, he's too big for corners. But I want him to be able to separate from those smaller, more athletic guys like a Travis Kelce can. But Brock Bowers definitely has the opportunity to be really, really good in Cincinnati alongside some really good weapons.
Him going to 18 is crazy. That'd be a sick weapon for them. Like, that would be actually crazy.
That would be really good for them.
Yeah. Especially since, you know, you're more than likely not going to have T. Higgins. Jamar, of course, you're going to pay, but with a contract like Burrow's and Jamar's, how much more can you really improve that offense without, you know, going broke? Especially because you also have a defensive side of the ball that has some very expensive and demanding positions. Man, Brock Bowers for 5 years on a rookie deal is kind of crazy. Just saying.
Very, very profitable.
Yeah, I have them going with a tackle. They are going to grab Olufashinu out of Penn State. Did pick up Trent Brown in the offseason, but he is aging. Now, I know he's playing right tackle, and Olu is a pure left tackle, but Olu is a beast. Dude is super athletic. He is going to provide great protection to Joe Burrow's blind side. Definitely think that he has the ability to start over what's his name? Orlando Brown, I think. Yeah, Orlando Brown on the left side. Because dude is a pure pass blocker. His run protection could use a little bit of an improvement. It is definitely not as good as his pass protection. But if you've got Joe Burrow, you've got T. Higgins next year, you've got Jamar Chase, you lose Mixon. It's a very pass-heavy team. So I think going with a pure pass protection tackle is definitely going to be better suited for them. And with a guy like Olufashinu falling all the way down to 18, I think you'd definitely go ahead and make that decision and pick him up.
No, I see it. It's hard for me to really decide on a tackle for them because of who they got. It's not the biggest need, I guess, but it's definitely a need. So I could see them, upgrading for sure.
Yeah, it was more also kind of like a best available for me.
No, for sure.
I mean, like, there's definitely a couple people they could have gone, but I don't know. I feel like I kind of liked how they looked better on teams that went after them, so I went ahead and went with Olu instead, but one that could have potentially have gone there at 18, that is now going at 19 to the Rams, is edge rusher Jared Verse out of FSU. So Jared Verse is insane, first off. Definitely going to be, he's only the second edge I have, right? Yeah, to Dallas Turner, who went a lot earlier. Normally I had them going pretty similar, but Dallas Turner at 10, Jared Verse at 19. Normally I have him in like the 13-ish range, but he fell a little bit. Is going to the Los Angeles Rams, who have made some pretty good changes on defense, I think, in this offseason. I know they brought back Darius Williams for the long term. They're also looking at grabbing Tre'Davious White. I know he is just had practice with them, or like he just visited a facility, or he's going to be this week. I
Yeah.
believe I read up on. They also grabbed Cam Curl in the secondary. Defensive line was already not great, and then with the retirement of Aaron Donald, of course, could have went with somebody like Jerjon Newton, but I had them going with just a pure pass rusher like Jared Verse to kind of help them get to the quarterback in the absence of a guy like Aaron Donald.
No, I could definitely see that. I could definitely see Jared Verse going to the Rams at pick 19. Except, I'm gonna have the Rams go edge rusher Jared Verse out of Florida State. I had the same thing.
You did
twitchy,
quite well.
athletic. The same things that we said about Dallas Turner. I just don't think he's as small and athletic. Verse can work on his flexibility and sort of his bend moves, but I think him and Byron Young and some of the other young pass rushers they have over there in LA could definitely develop into a really mean pass rushing group because they have who else do they have? They have like I said, I know they have Byron Young.
We're at.
But outside of him, they don't really have anybody. So I think they could develop into some really mean men, and we'll see
Oh, you said like
what.
the Rams.
Yeah.
It's not great. They've got like Michael Hoyt, Kobe Turner.
Yeah, Kobe Turner and Byron Young, I think, have some potential.
Yeah, I mean, outside of you got like Bobby Brown, Deshaun Johnson.
Yeah, I think definitely getting that guy will help them.
Oh, for sure.
And at pick 20, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers going tackle out of Georgia, Amarius Mims. The Steelers have been working on their offensive line for a while now, and with Russ there and Justin Fields now set to be the starter at some point, if I had to guess, Amarius Mims is going to really help that offensive line. Give them time to throw. They've lost a weapon in Diontae Johnson, so maybe you need a little more time to throw. George Pickens isn't quite the separator that Diontae was, but you brought in Van Jefferson. You have Calvin Austin, so that deep threat. You upgrade Dan Moore, and you give Russell Wilson time to throw. They up Roderick Jones, they drafted in the first last year. Isaac Seumalo, Nate Herbig, and you give Russ time to throw the ball deep to George Pickens and Calvin Austin. I think they could be a really, really good field stretching dynamic offense.
Okay, interesting. So it's funny you talk about the weapons that they have because I have them going wide receiver and getting another weapon at pick 20. They're going to go ahead and grab Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. When you look at that wide receiver group, outside of George Pickens, you don't know. Calvin Austin definitely has the potential to be a really good weapon for them. Van Jefferson. I was low key like really high on Van Jefferson. Like one, I think it might have been his rookie season with the Rams. I thought he had tremendous upside. I just love the way that he played. But of course, has fallen from grace a little bit. Has kind of shifted onto a couple different teams at this point. Definitely could still be utilized, but I think getting a more solidified receiver in there, one that you could start with from scratch, like Brian Thomas. 6'4", 205, also going to be freshly 22 by the time the season starts, could definitely be good. He's really good in the run defense for a wide receiver, has also worked on his technique and footwork in the release game over the last year or so. So he could definitely be a really good weapon outside of George Pickens for Russ slash Justin Fields to throw to. There are some cons, some knocks on him. Like he's not great in the press. He's not a super big yak guy, but 6'4", he could definitely stretch the field. He could also be benefit off of having a guy like Calvin Austin be a decoy. So just some wide receiver depth for them, I think, is going to be good for Russ's first year there as well as Justin Fields.
Oh, for sure. Makes sense. Make chance.
21. 21, 21, 21. Can you do something for me? I have the Denver, no, not the Denver Broncos, the Miami Dolphins. I'm sorry, dude. I don't know what is going on with me today. This has been insane. Like, I am so sorry. I have the Miami Dolphins going with tackle, Troy Fatanu. So, as you mentioned before, him going to the Green Bay Packers. I won't spend too much time talking about him, but Miami Dolphins could definitely get a little bit better on offense in terms of their line. You grab Aaron Brewer on the interior, but Teron Armstead, of course, getting older, you could get younger. Austin Jackson could be a good pairing. He is really young. But you got Tua, who's really two-dimensional as a quarterback, kind of just like a stand-and-stare guy, can't really progress through his reads that well. You've got Jonnu Smith, you've got Tyreek Hill, you've got Jaylen Waddle. You need time to throw the ball. And a guy like Troy Fatanu could definitely sit behind the Teron Armstead and learn from him and definitely be a replacement once, Teron Armstead is gone and no longer on that offense. So that's the reason why I went with Fatanu at 21.
And at 21, I have J.C. Latham, tackle out of Bama, going. Is J.C. Latham still on your board?
JC Latham is still on my board.
Right, I see. I have Latham going to the Dolphins here at 21. The Dolphins lost a few of their offensive linemen. Teron Armstead's getting up there. I know they just reworked his deal to kind of keep him around, but this is going to be a really good move for the Dolphins, upgrading Austin Jackson. Latham is going to play right tackle, as he has the last 2 seasons, and he's even played a right guard in 2021, as you can see. So he's got that flexibility to move inside if they don't like Robert Jones there, because they lost Robert Hunt. But more than likely, he would replace tackle Austin Jackson across from Teron Armstead. So I wanted to give them more of a right tackle, someone that could fit into what they need right now.
Interesting. Well, I no longer have wait, that was 21, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, so you're going into 22 now. I'm not gonna lie, I was like, I'm so ready.
At pick 22, I have the Philadelphia Eagles going linebacker Peyton Wilson out of North
Really?
Carolina State. Yes.
Really?
The
Oh,
Eagles
wow.
go and grab their guy. This is like
Oh, wow.
the fourth person I've looked at that their most drafted by team is the Packers. So I don't know how everyone's got the Packers taken five, six different first round players in this draft, but the only knock on Peyton Wilson is, to me, his injury history. People say he's a little light, but at 6'4", 238, I'm not worried about it with how fast he moves downhill. He's gonna feel like he's 300 pounds when he hits you. I mean, he's a freak in coverage. He's gonna be that rangy, quick, athletic sort of coverage guy that they were hoping for when they brought in Shaq Leonard last year, who didn't really play much for them. But Peyton Wilson's gonna go get after the ball carrier, and didn't allow a single touchdown in 2023 and had 3 picks. So he's gonna be hard to throw over.
Wow. Dude, Eagles got like nine linebackers over there now, dude.
They get the best one of the bunch now.
Yeah. Dude, it's gonna be hard to find out who gets playing time over there, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, him and Devin
Kobe
White,
Dean.
I can see being really good.
Kobe Dean.
I don't
Zach
trust
Bond we just
in
picked
N'Kobe
up.
Dean or Zach Bond. Give me Devin White and Dallas and Peyton Wilson.
Wow.
Give
I
me
mean, it would
Iguodala.
be very Eagles. It would be very Eagles to draft more defense. Because I feel like I said last time when we were talking about defense and all of their free agency moves, They just keep drafting defense, I feel like.
They love
Dude, they have so many players
it.
on defense. Like, it's nuts. But I have them going offense, which probably isn't going to happen. But no, I'm kidding. Could definitely happen. I was so excited to cut you off and go to pick 22 because I no longer have JC Latham on my board.
Oh, there we go.
That's why I was so eager, because I was going to be like, yeah, he's still on my board, but not anymore. yeah, I have them going JC Latham. Just because they just have so much defense. And, the offensive line is definitely not going to be as good losing Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson getting older. And with JC Latham being such a good right tackle on my board still. Could definitely learn from a guy like Lane Johnson, and be. It's pretty much almost like the passing of the torch thing with Teron Armstead and Troy Fatanu, just a pick before, more or less. I don't really have to spend too much time about it, especially since you just talked about what's so good about him. But
Yeah.
yeah, so pretty much back-to-back passing of the torch tackles because tackle is such an important position with these edges being so freaky, so fast, so athletic, so powerful. That was the reason I went with that pick. Interesting pick here. At pick number 23, let me pull this up real quick. I really, really wish I didn't like close my draft twice because that would make this recording so much less stressful and I'd be doing such a better job on commentary. Also, if I had a second monitor. But pick number 23, Arizona Cardinals. This is going to be their second of three first-round draft picks, and they are going to go ahead and grab wide receiver. Didn't grab it at 4, didn't grab it at 11, so they're going to grab it now at 23, and they're going to draft wide receiver Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. So, what else do we have to say about Adonai Mitchell that we haven't before? Pretty much out of the crop of early first round and late first round wide receivers, out of the late like that round bunch, he's probably the best one when paired together with some of those other guys. 6'4", 200 pounds, super fast, really good footwork, really good hands. Maybe not the best at tracking the ball once it's in the air, but Adonai Mitchell is definitely going to be a good weapon for Kyler Murray. Of course, everyone had them grabbing a weapon at some point, but they go ahead and get the value of trading down and still get a very viable wide receiver to pretty much beef up that wide receiver room that's not looking too hot right now outside of like Michael Wilson. So they go ahead and grab Adonai Mitchell at 23.
I have them also going receiver, but a guy you have gone, Brian Thomas Jr., or as PFF likes to call him, Martavius Bryant, apparently. I don't see it. But just an athletic deep threat, who, like I said, is not the make you miss type guy. Straight line speed, can improve on his hands and getting off the press, but he's just big, athletic, the kind of guy you're looking for in a receiver one, and he's going to be that guy. Losing Hollywood, trading Rondale. I mean, you need somebody in the room, and Brian Thomas is going to be the guy. You talked about him earlier, so I won't mention too much. But at 24, I have the Dallas Cowboys selecting interior defensive lineman Zerjan Newton out of Illinois. The same kind of the same reason I had them going linebacker in the last draft. Their run defense sucks. Zershon's a big guy in the interior. He's going to be not really his forte run blocking, but he will he can gain a few pounds and he's gonna learn a lot of his run defense. Downsides come with him missing gap assignments and maybe choosing things and making decisions he shouldn't. So when he kind of decides that he wants to eat up those blocks in the middle for his linebackers, they'll have a lot better of a run defense over there in Dallas.
Very Very interesting. So, I have them going defense too. I do not necessarily have them upgrading their run defense. I instead have them drafting edge rusher Leatu Latu at 24. Leatu Latu, an incredible story. Of course, at one point told medically he's never going to be playing football again, and then has, according to PFF, a 96.3 grade in 2023. Excuse me. Dude's grading is insane. Mostly lines up outside of the tackle, an incredible pass rusher. Dude is incredibly quick, incredibly powerful, has a really good repertoire of pass rush moves as well. Not the greatest run defender. He's more or less kind of just a really good gap shooter, which makes him graded as a higher run defense guy than he really truly is. But when you pair this guy up with Micah Parsons, almost like how you have an insane front three in Las Vegas over there with the Raiders, you kind of just have two freaks of nature just flying at the quarterback all night long. So my choice was Leatu Latu at 24. Moving on to 25, I did this in my last one, so I won't really talk about it too much. My Green Bay Packers go ahead and pick up Amarius Mims. Again, really, I don't know. At this point, I don't know if I want corner or tackle more. I really don't. I'm kind of 50-50 with it. Just because I just want the best for Jordan Love at the end of the day. I am so high on Jordan Love. I'm just hoping that he can keep up the production that he had, grow with his young guys, and get some help on that offensive line. We talked about it, picking up Troy Fatanu in your mock at 17. Amarius Mims is just going to be that absolute unit at tackle, 6'7", 350 pounds. He's kind of stiff. He's not super, like shifty. He does have fluid movement, but he's kind of just like a big block sitting there. But hopefully that's something that he can develop over time, and just provide the utmost protection for my guy Jordan Love at right tackle.
And as I had the Packers trading up from 25 to 17, I'm kind of audibling this here. I have the Jaguars taking who I originally had them taking at 17. Here at 25, Terrion Arnold. I believe that's who you also had them going. Unless you had them picking a
Yeah,
different
17,
corner.
yeah.
Yeah, Terrion Arnold. So I'm not going to talk about it too much. Same player that you had them going. They just got him 8 picks later and picked up an extra third round draft pick for it. So,
Nice.
Terrion Arnold to the Jacksonville Jaguars. At 26, the Green, not Green Bay, Jesus, Tampa Bay
Yeah, so
Buccaneers.
I'm not the only one screwing it up.
I will say Green Bay and Tampa Bay. It's the damn Bays, you Bay
Battle of the
boys.
Bays, baby.
I have them going, who you have going a few picks prior, Leatu Latu. Shaq Barrett replacement, simple as that, exactly like you said. He's a small, twitchy, bendy edge rusher that can get after it. Athletic freak, a little smaller, but again, I don't know how many times I gotta say it. I don't care. We're proved time and time again that that is irrelevant most of the time. There are the big athletic freaks. There's a difference between people saying you're too small and then proving them wrong, and then there's the guys that are just big athletic freaks, and that means something. I feel like it should mean something to be big and athletic, than for it more to be a takeaway that you're too small. That's whatever to me, but. Leatu Latu at 26.
No, I could definitely see it for them, especially losing a guy like Shaq Barrett. I have them going defense as well, but I have them going somewhere a little bit different. And I'm pretty sure every mock that I have done, both for the podcast and kind of just doing them to kind of see how I feel throwing different things out there. I have the Bucks just going Kool-Aid McKinstry, man. I don't know. It just feels like a really good fit for me. Corner definitely did get a little bit worse losing Sean Murphy Bunting. You've got Bryce Hall coming in from New York, but definitely not someone that is going to be potentially starting over a guy like Kool-Aid if he were to join that defensive backfield. But Kool-Aid McKinstry, I feel like, just makes a lot of sense for them. He's really good being on an island. He's 6'1", so he's got good length as well. You could also kind of put him in the box. He's really good, like reading screens, things like that. And especially losing, Devin White as well. You can maybe throw some packages out there where he's playing the box as well, since now you have just KJ Britt there replacing him. As just another guy that can kind of fly around and make really good plays for you guys. So to me, Cooley McKinstry still makes the most sense. I think the fit there would be awesome. I would also love if he would go to the Packers at 25. Could have done it again, but I again for the second time went tackle over Kool-Aid in my mocks. So maybe only subconsciously I want a corner, but I really want a tackle.
I have
What about?
them going, as I had them going corner at 11 and receiver at 23, I have them going center Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. Just really don't have a center. Have some good tackles and guards. He's
Cardinals, right?
flexible. He's, yes, flexible, athletic. He's not as big as maybe he should be. He probably gained a few pounds, so he can get tossed around a bit. But just a good center, really. The centers kind of drop off a bit. It's sort of an exponential dive after Jackson Powers Johnson. But Zach
For
Frazier
sure.
will be good for them at 27. At
All right.
28, I have my Buffalo Bills going Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. Oh, but you have Stephon Diggs and Curtis. Shut up. I want Adonai Mitchell. Big, fast. We haven't had that in. Since the 90s, give me Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. Simple as that.
Fair enough. So you went ahead and did 27 and 28. I have not said my 27 pick. So I'm gonna go ahead and do both. 27 is gonna be the Arizona Cardinals pick, their last one in the first round. I have them going tackle, wide receiver. So only fitting that they finished the trifecta of first round picks grabbing an edge rusher. And who else to grab other than Chop Robinson? So Chop Robinson is a guy that I always forget to mock in the first round, and Frank always gets upset at me for it because Frank normally has Chop Robinson going in the first round, which I don't know if you do because we're getting really close to the end and he's not still on your board. But
Chuck
Chop
Robinson's
Robinson.
in the draft? Oh no, I forgot about him.
Just the first round. Definitely haven't forgotten about him as a player, but Chop Robinson can definitely go in the first round. I know he's more of like an early to mid second round pick in terms of like average drafted position in mock drafts, but position of need for the Cardinals, of course, you don't really have that much of a pass rush presence, at least a consistent one. And already grabbing tackle and wide receiver, which are one, a very big position of need, and two, second most important position on offense, protecting your most important position on offense. Why not grab the single most important position on your defense, an edge rusher to go after that quarterback? I went ahead and went with Chop Robinson. He's the best on the board. He has really good first step explosiveness, and he's very consistent off of his front foot. He does have some shorter strides. He can get locked up. Defending the run as well, but 6'3", 250, also super young at freshly 21 years of age. Definitely going to be a really good pass rusher for them for years to come. Moving on to pick number 28, the Buffalo Bills grab. I've been saying his name wrong this entire time, Jerjan Newton. Sorry for mispronouncing that, but. They're going to go ahead and pick up Jerjan Newton out of Illinois. I really want to give them a wide receiver. I really do. Because I feel like that's a position of need for them. Gabe Davis, obviously, there's mixed opinions on that. People think it's really important that they lost him. People are like, more probably more people tuned in with the Bills like yourself, Francis, are like it's really not that big of a deal. He had like an 8 to 10 game stretch where he didn't even receive like a target or touch the ball. So he's definitely going to be expendable in that offense. You also do bring a guy like Curtis Samuel in there. So I did want to go receiver, but I went ahead and went interior defensive lineman. Bills are very diverse in terms of the down linemen that they have on defense, they love to move guys out. They normally have a multitude of them that they can interchange throughout a game to kind of keep that pass rush fresh. Jerjon Newton is going to be good on both pass rush and run stopping sides of the ball. So I think that's going to be where I go for 28.
I could see it. We definitely need the help. Getting old there. Need some rotational guys. I could see it. I wouldn't mind it if he was there. At.
And then are you going to go
Yeah,
29? Okay.
I'll go 29. At
Okay.
29, it's going to be quick. Guy you talked about already, Kwelee McKinstry, I have going to the Lions.
Nice.
They need the corner help. They traded for a guy, but I think they want to. They want to get solidified there for a while, have a sort of a mainstay in their corner room, and that's gonna be Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Did you want to go 32?
32?
Like
I mean, if
32 and 30 as well.
No, it's fine. You good?
Okay. So pick number 29. So for me, this one is really hard for the Lions because I feel like they're so good top to bottom. I kind of look at their team and there really aren't a lot of needs. You've got really good, really young defensive pieces all over the board. Offense, of course, is insane, especially at offensive line. I, interestingly enough, went wide receiver for them. They have, of course, Amon-Ra St. Brown. You have an incredibly fast Jamison Williams. Outside of that, though, do you really have at wide receiver specifically a good, consistent pass weapon? I don't think so. So I went ahead and went receiver and had them picking up Roy Franklin out of Oregon. So he is a super tall, super fast, deep threat. Also has really good footwork as well. Doesn't really have a great route tree. He is more like kind of like a streak down the field, go get it kind of guy. But if you have your Amon-Ra, who's your pretty much like route runner slash slot guy, Jamison Williams, who can use as a deep threat or as a gadget. We've seen him do reverses and have tremendous success there. Grab your deep threat. Your consistent deep threat in Troy Franklin, have that ability to go deep and use Jamison Williams as a gadget to kind of mix up what you're doing on offense. Troy Franklin is consistently compared to guys like Christian Watson for my Green Bay Packers. Hopefully he doesn't have the hamstring issues and can stay on the field, but that is who I went with at 29 for the Lions, who are incredibly stacked from top to bottom, in my opinion.
I wouldn't mind it. Troy Franklin, great receiver. I see him going maybe early second, but I can see the Lions maybe taking him a little early if they like him. They test well.
Or even like trading out of the first. That could also be something that they do.
No, for sure. I think I that's what a lot of teams at the end of the first do, but I didn't really. I just kind of had them stick and pick here.
Dude, they're so good, man. I hate it, bro. They're just so good on paper, man. Who is going next? I know we kind of like messed up the order a little bit. I can go again if you want me to.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. So for pick number 30, this one has kind of made a lot of sense to me the more I mock it. That is Ennis Rakestraw, corner out of Mizzou for the Baltimore Ravens. Quarter is definitely not as good as it has been for them. Ennis Rakestraw is primarily a zone corner, which last year the Ravens ran zone 71% of the time. So that is really the main reason why I have him going there. Position of need fits the scheme already, and he's really good at what he does. Not really that great in man coverage, which is probably why his draft stock it tanks a bit. But really solid zone coverage grade. Can play slot, can play outside. Has some snaps here and there in the box as well. So can kind of move around, give you a little bit of diversity. Ennis Rakestraw at 30 is kind of where I'm going for the Ravens.
I'm gonna go real quick back to back here. At 30, the Ravens pick Olufushanu. We've talked about him already. He somehow drops to 30. The other guys just like the other tackles better. And at 31, I'm having the Niners take Graham Barton. Replacement for an aging Trent Williams. Just a really good kind of lock it down sort of tackle that can slide into their offensive line and play when they need to.
All right. Well, 31. What Francis said. Also have Graham Barton tackle out of Duke. Wrapping it up here, pick number 32. I did have the Chiefs going Xavier Worthy in my first one. But then as I thought about it kind of like looked at the grading and stuff like that, I kind of switched and took influence from your draft 1.0 that we did, and I gave them Ladd McConkey.
Well,
Ladd McConkey is kind of just a better receiver. I was thinking in my head, give him Xavier Worthy, Tyreek Hill, super fast, dominant. But he does have some drop issues, or at least did last year. Did Xavier Worthy? He had like five or six drops or something like that, which is significantly less than Ladd had at two. So he's going to be more, he has more consistent hands in terms of last year's stats, which. If you know anything about the Chiefs last year, that's all they did was drop the ball, and it literally made Patrick Mahomes pull his hair out like every drive. So, a versatile wide receiver can give you some yak, can play in the slot, good hands, decent size as well, 6 foot 185. Ladd McConkey is my pick for the Chiefs at 32, who need a weapon really badly.
I also had them go Ladd McConkey here to round out the draft. Just elite route runner, good hands. He's not gonna go up and get it. He's not that big, but he's just gonna be open and he's gonna catch the ball when it's thrown to him. Ladd McConkey, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown. That's your Kansas City Chiefs in 2024.
I like it.
So here is the final 32. They can't all fit on the screen. But here is your final 32. Thank
My
you for
final 32
joining
is in the
us.
shadow realm.
Or thank you for joining us for the mock draft 2.0 here. Like I said, it is March 20th. Now at 9:50 p.m. This will be uploaded on Friday, March 22nd. And we're not going to do any more mock drafts until probably about a week or two before the draft starts. That's when we'll kind of finish out all the info we need to finish our mocks. But until then, thank you for joining us at the lunch table. Follow us on all socials at Lunch Table Talks POD on Instagram and TikTok, Lunch Table Talks on Spotify and YouTube to listen, as well as Amazon Music now. Thank you, everyone. I want to say thank you. Over 100 streams on all platforms combined through the first four episodes. Episode 5 just dropped a couple hours ago as we're recording this, so it hasn't really gotten a chance to get any. But almost 1,000 likes total on TikTok and over 100 streams in not even the first month. I really appreciate everyone who listens. Any feedback is appreciated. And until next time, thank you.